Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
Welcome, listeners. You're here with
Chuck.
And I'm not hearing myself, and now I can. Awesome. All right, here we go. Welcome to Shooter's Corner. You're here with Chuck and Cindy, and we got Matt running the board for us. Well, still learning how to
It's a tag team.
It's a tag team effort,
as always. Good morning.
And it's what, 30 degrees below
31.
Zero? 31. 31 on the drive-in? Yeah. So it's warmed up significantly. Like, we had that balmy heat wave there going on there for a little bit. I think it got up to, what, like 9 below?
It was a blistering negative 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
A blink.
I know, because I walked outside without a jacket. Yeah. And it was like, oh, man, I can wear shorts now. So, yeah, like we'll normally see around Fred Meyers and stuff like that come around, what, March, when we get up to 20 above, and everybody starts wearing shorts. So, anyways. All right, let's get started, because we got some call-in guests today. We have one in. Let me know if we got Chris on the line. Do we have Chris on the line?
You do. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Hey, so our listeners, just so you know, we got Chris Bean. He's calling in from, I think, like Georgia, where, like, we won't talk about what the temperature is probably down there. But he's going to be coming up in June to run a gun class for the act of self-protection. We got Neil, who we're trying to still get connected in here as well. So we'll keep working on that little technicality. But nonetheless, let's get started. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Just remember, freedom is not a bargaining chip. It's not a line ledger on a tax thing. And obviously, it's just one of those favors that politicians seem to think that they can hand out all the time when elections come around. It's not that, right? Gun owners need to take note. We need to make sure that our politicians pay attention to our Second Amendment rights at all times. Hey, a couple reminders, though. I did find the screws. Who was that called in? It was Steve. Steven called in asking about the screw for the bat. Yeah, my screws are loose.
Okay.
Called in about the battery tray for his Hollow Sun, and I did find the screws and did order them off Amazon, because I think that was the fastest way to get them anyways, to be quite honest with you. So OH Hunt replacement screw set, like $10 on Amazon. And then I also got the Eagle Precision Red Dot Mega Pack. Like 48 different screws in that thing for only like $20 or something like that. Because after Steve called and talked about that, I was like, holy cow, like I probably need to order a bunch of different screws.
It's those little things you don't think about until you absolutely need it.
And yeah, because like, you lose a screw on a battery tray, like you're
that gives me multiple 10-7 for a little bit. What screws you're losing?
Jeez, son, I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Hey, and also another quick reminder: the Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program is tonight at 5:30 to 7 over the TVSA range. That's over at 12:30 TVSA Way. It's across from the Fred Meyers West, next to Best Western Plus or whatever in that area. So Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program. We've had Mike Condis online or in the show before talking about that particular program. So, yeah, 5:30, 7 o'clock tonight. They're going to be talking about how to have proper packing list and stuff for hunting, your little hunting expeditions and stuff like that.
Preparing for the big game hunt in Alaska.
There you go. They're going to have a special guest come in and talk about that. Hey, and then one other announcement before we get on with our show. It was interesting. Cindy and I went to a Christmas party with some friends, and there was a guy there. I think he runs one of the marine shops here out in North Pole, works on boat motors and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he had brought up to me about the International Halibut Commission, or International Pacific Halibut Commission. Don't remember exactly what it was. But nonetheless, I thought it was interesting that it had everything to do with the limits that they want to put on personal halibut fishing. And I thought, like, interesting. We just got a text in. It says we're dead air.
I pushed it before.
All right. Are we live now? Okay. Hey,
so
Ty, text me back. Text me back, Ty, and let me know if we're live now.
And I have my phone too,
was
Ty.
Lit up the last time I pressed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So now we're back live, apparently. So that's good. Hey, so if Neil's listening, please call in at 907-458-8255. That'd be a good number, right? And Chris, I hope you're still on the line with us.
No, yeah.
Yeah, Chris is still there.
Yeah, it's too cold.
And Ty just texted me and said we're on.
Okay.
All right.
So now let's go from...
If he's not listening, Chuck, is put that number in the text stream.
Say that one more time, brother.
Put the number in the text stream.
Yeah, let me type that in there real quick. 907-458 or what?
458-8255.
8255. There we go. Okay.
So now
all right, let's start back over.
Yeah, start over with the halibut because this is really important.
Well, apparently we weren't live before anyway. So, like,
yeah. Well, we don't know.
That's what happens when we let Matt run the board and not Teresa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's this outdated 80s tech we're working with, okay?
Your chair's going to hit it again.
Yeah, I hope not.
So let's get back to that. Just remember. All right, we got to call him. Let's see if it's our, if it's Neil.
Say hello.
Hello, Neil. Or hello, caller.
Can you hear me now?
That one's ringing. We're working out the bugs here, people. As we do. Electricity moves slower at 30 below. All right, do we got Neil on there now? He is in the Dakotas, though. I mean, so that's got to be say something about, like...
It does get cold there.
Yeah, besides the fact... Oh, he says he can hear us.
Well, that's great.
And he is in the Dakotas, but we can't hear you, Neil. So unmute your phone, brother.
Maybe it's not mute.
All right, so anyways, just remember, let's go back through that real quick.
Yeah,
so reminders, Steve, we did find the RDS screws for the battery trays. Mm-hmm. Text me, I'll give you the information. Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program tonight, 5:30 to 7 at TVSA Range. Make sure you go over there, 12:30 TVSA Way. They're going to be talking about preparing for the big hunt, big game hunt.
Yeah.
They're going to have a special guest talking about that, how to arrange maybe your packing list and those kind of things. So that's at the Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program, 5:30, 7 tonight. What I was talking about was the International Halibut Commission. I thought it was interesting that they want to limit, or the controversial proposal as of late 2025, early 2026, seeks to reduce the daily bag limit to one halibut per person for unguided private boat recreational anglers in Alaska. Now, what does that have to do with Shooter's Corner? Well, I look at it this way. If they're willing to, like, limit us on that, like, what else are they going to start limiting us on? Like, big game maybe and stuff? And that's a big deal. Like, I get it. Some of the charters are already limited, maybe in pressures, like, 2C area, right? But nonetheless... So, all right. Hey, Neil, do we got you on the line now?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. It's like an AT&T commercial. And we got Chris on the other line. All right. So technology has worked its way out. The lines have finally thawed. Okay.
So back to the halibut.
Hurry up real quick because I want to introduce these guys real quick before we have to go to the first break.
Okay. Back to the halibut. I think it's really important because some family depend on that halibut to help survive the winters.
Yeah. It's kind of subsistence fishing up here. It's like subsistence hunting. So got it.
Oh.
Hey, so real quick, let's introduce Chris Bean and Neil. So Neil, is it Wiedner?
Widener.
Okay. Good German name. Widener. All right.
Yeah.
Is a director of training and chief marketing officer at Active Self Protection. Those of you guys, I've talked about that YouTube channel with John Correa and his team and how I went and did the instructor development course with them. Awesome group. He handles all their business sponsor relationships for Active Self Protection. He's one of their senior staff instructors as well. Handful of people certified to actually teach the ASP brand courses. Chris Bean is a co-director of Active Self-Protection Instructor Certification Program. He's a dedicated and proven firearms instructor. He's done a lot of training with a lot of trainers in the lower 48, if I said that correctly. I'm going to let them give themselves a little bit more of their resume, if you will. But they're both going to be coming up here June 20th and 21st. It's posted on the C4 Training Group website right now as well. So you can go there, get a link directly to the Active Self-Protection website and sign up for the class there. But we have to go into our first break. Neil, Chris, do not hang up. When we come back after this first break, we will get right into that. Awesome. Thank you.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too, family owned and operated, keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
Hey North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. This Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska Pipeline, which is constantly exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
KFAR weather.
A mix of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 29 below. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 38 below. Tonight, mainly clear. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Thanks. Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Matt, and Cindy here. Well, I should say Chuck, Cindy, and Matt. So we'll have to go in the order of seniority. All right, we're back here at Shooter's Corner here. It's a negative 30 degrees out here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. Unfortunately, the lines are tied up, so you can't necessarily call in because we have our guests on. We have Chris Bean and Neil. They're from Active Self-Protection. They're going to be coming up in June to teach their class. And their class is what, Chris?
I think we're doing enhanced evidence-based up there, if I'm...
That is correct.
Excellent.
That was a test, but not really. Hey, and so tell me about that program. Well, first of all, like, who is Chris Bean? And then we'll go to who is Neil?
Well, for me, it's pretty simple. So I've been a professional instructor, firearms educator is what I prefer to call it, for right at 27 years now. Just trying to learn more about how adults develop skill. So that's really my niche within the company. Have a lot of background in corporate America doing adult development, things like that, and started trying to learn to apply those techniques to general skill development, athletics, self-defense in general or in particular, and I ended up here.
Okay, and here is where?
Here as in co-director of the Active Self-Protection Instructor Development Program and one of the road instructors for the company.
Sweet. And Neil, tell us about you, buddy.
I am Neil Widener, so I'm the marketing guy for Active Self-Protection and a little bit of an avid gun school junkie. So about 10 years ago, I suppose, I started working in the instruction side of things in the firearms industry. Related to self-defense. Before that, it was mostly hunter's ed and that kind of thing. Did a fair amount of wing shooting instruction and that kind of stuff as well before we moved into the self-defense stuff. But my wife and I joined Active Self Protection kind of early on, probably before we even had a YouTube channel, and have kind of partnered up with John to try to educate the masses to what really happens and what go signals are and what they can expect if they do have the worst day of their life and find themselves in a self-defense scenario. So I manage all of the marketing side of things as well as the relationships with our different sponsors and that kind of thing. And then Chris and I travel the country and do our road classes.
And the evidence-based, define the evidence-based. I mean, from myself being a firearms instructor for the state troopers and stuff like that, I kind of understand that concept. Also being the force science guy, analyst guy, I kind of understand like how the human performance, you know, can be affected by stress and stuff. But what kind of evidence are we looking for when we say evidence-based training? Like, are we just doing the stuff like, oh, well, I don't know, like the Navy SEALs and the Green Berets? Or are we going back and looking at 50,000 videos that John and you guys have analyzed and said, well, holy cow, here's what a real armed citizen event looks like, and let's go ahead and work on those and refine those key factors and bring that to the masses? What say you guys?
That is pretty much it right there. You know, we've analyzed, it's probably closer to 80,000 self-defense scenarios by this time. And so what we've found is that there are a few key principles of things that people need to be able to do to survive. And so while, you know, gun school classes where you do barrel rolls and, you know, shoot through windshields and all of that are always really fun, we don't really see that in, you know, the typical self-defense scenario. So when we do an evidence-based class, we're talking about, you know, what are those main skills that you're going to need to, you know, to win on that day and to survive your encounter. So, you know, very unlikely that you're going to need to do a barrel roll or a cartwheel to survive a gunfight. But you do need to get the gun out of the holster. You do need to get, you know, good hits, accurate hits, and you need to know who you are as a shooter so that you can survive that.
Yeah, I mean, the old adage, accuracy counts in a gunfight. First round hit counts and definitely counts in a gunfight. Get energy on your threat first. But Chris, like,
yeah, what we
go ahead.
What we typically see is in an actual gunfight, the first person to get anatomically effective hits on the other guy typically wins. Doesn't mean every time.
Right.
But if you get a good hit first, your odds of winning go up dramatically.
I think that would also be on how motivated the other person is. Like, I've told students before, like, if that guy's, like, religiously motivated and screaming Allah Akbar, like, it's going to take a magnum. If they're just a guy who's just wanting to get a couple bucks, he's not overly motivated. So, I mean, have you seen kind of that same thing? I mean, probably not a lot of that, but
yeah.
Anywho.
No, we see that all the time when we watch it. I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I think, one of the underlying things, too, that gets left out a lot in firearms instruction is it becomes an activity where we're just repeating or replicating what someone's showing us, and it's devoid of context.
Right.
And that's kind of a big thing that we try and bring in. So every skill we're trying to teach somebody, we want to apply a context to that. We want them to understand that there's a big difference between skill development and skill application. So we spend a certain amount of time in skill development really trying to understand the how of doing something. Then we must, as practitioners, explore the why.
I think that's one of the things that we are really harp on in classes, too. Like, I tell the students why we do it that way. And this might not be the only way, right? I mean, you, obviously, you know, things might work out different for you, but just based on what we have seen in the past, this is kind of what works. However, all right, so one of the biggest things, tap rack, right? Like, most people will forget the tap. I've seen it even with troopers at the academy and everywhere else, right? They forget to tap the bottom of the magazine. Why do we tap the bottom of the magazine? Well, I don't know. Because you did an admin reload and you forgot to tap it to be, you know, make sure it was fully seated before. Like, or what was the past that caused us to always have to go to tap the bottom of the magazine. You know? And I think John has talked about this before, Neil, with you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the nexus of why we tapped the bottom of the magazine? Does that go all the way back to World War I when the particular guns and stuff like that? Like,
it goes back quite a ways. And
it does.
There's lots of debate of who, you know, how far back it goes. But essentially it goes back to, you know, the dates where there were things going on in a theater of war where potentially sand would get in there and a magazine wouldn't be seated properly or something along those lines. And so it's just been taught and ingrained for years and years and years, the tap. What we see nowadays, especially, you know, in you know, the community type of things where you're out in public, the tap just typically goes away for most people. They don't need it. They don't use it. And it adds a little bit of time. So, you know, so when we teach, you know, malfunction clearance, you know, I think that's a personal decision. If you want to tap, you knock yourself out. But the odds are, in a gunfight, when you get a click, you're gonna rack, and you're gonna assume that you had your stuff together in the morning when you put your gun on, and that you checked everything. But if you know, if that's a dynamic that somebody really wants to do and feels like the tap is a must, okay, no harm, no foul. That's totally your call.
Yeah, I would say don't interrupt it if that's what they've been trained on for a long time. Like, if the neural muscular pathway is that, then leave it. If not, then you don't have to necessarily reinforce it. So,
well, and I think it really goes it goes in place to kind of what Chris was just talking about, is that we can build skill, but when we go to apply it, a lot of that becomes personal for folks, and so they have to kind of make some decisions on their own, and they're adults and they get to make those decisions. So we let them.
Yeah, like one of the core tenets of adult learning theory is autonomy, right?
Right.
You can present the information. These are different ways to do it. These are different applications where that may be viable. Understand all of them and be able to apply all of them as required. That's probably the best way to approach things versus, you know, living in doctrine.
Ooh, the word doctrine, which...
Give me yucky goosebumps.
Yeah. Because military thrives on doctrine. And,
yes.
And you know what? I guess for good purpose, right? Because sometimes you're just dealing with the lowest common denominator, and so you do have to have established procedures for doing things a set way. I think what people need to understand, though, is carrying a firearm as part of your self-defense plan requires more thought than that.
Now you're speaking my language.
Exactly. And... I love what you just said, Chris, about understanding maybe all of the concepts, finding the one that works best for you. But what I have found, and maybe you guys can expand on this, what I have found is people do not practice then what they know they're weak at. They tend to only gravitate towards what they're strong at because we all want to have success.
Now you're speaking my language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dopamine is a powerful drug.
Well, guys, keep going. Like, we got 1 minute, 2 minutes, and then I have to go into our mandatory break, but we can definitely come back after that. But go talk.
Well, yeah, I'll take that just a little bit because, you know, when I go make videos for the channel, of course you want to look good when you're shooting on camera and you want to look like you know what you're talking about. But if all I do is when I draw the first shot, well, I'm pretty good at that. And you get, you know, some really nice sub-second draws to first shot, that only goes so far. There's other things that I'm going to need. I very well, will need, additional shots or follow-up shots or, God forbid, a reload, which I highly doubt. But if I don't work on those things, I'm never going to get better at them. And so I do get a little bit of flack of when I make videos of myself working on my reload or something like that. And I'm like, hey, I'm not pretending to be God's gift to the reload community.
Right.
I think with you saying that too, because I'm very much in the YouTube space of things.
Is Matt, just so you guys.
Yeah, Matt. Hi. Oh, no. So you saying that you're putting up that here's my videos, here's my reload, it's awful, or here's this, whatever. I think more often than not, especially like from the COVID era, now people actually want to see that. People take it as you're real, because I think a lot of big brands out there that are putting out content, educational content on how to do things. You look at the old T-Rex arms, older Grantham stuff. They were putting out stuff, and all they're showing is their best takes. And then people kind of got tired of it, and they wanted to see Like, what are you working on? I can do a build drill really fast, but that's not showing me shooting through a barricade, having to maneuver, carrying weight, all that. So it's good that you're able to say, you know, I'm not the best at this. I'm going to show you guys and I'm going to get better at it. Because I think a lot of people miss that fundamentally.
But it's just not that either. It's also AI. Is this real or is the AI?
What are you talking
generated?
About? Like in the videos?
Yeah.
Hey, we have to go into our first mandatory break. Apologize. You guys stay on the lines when we come back after this mandatory local and national and weather news and stuff. But yeah, we'll be right back. Stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt. And we got Neil and Chris on the line. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
The KFAR live stream from Tanana Herb Company, bringing quality cannabis products.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. The city of Minneapolis on edge. Major crowds gathering overnight to protest after a woman was shot and killed by an ICE agent yesterday. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem says the officer acted accordingly because he thought his life was in danger.
He's an experienced officer that has served a number of years, and we recognize that he acted according to his training.
Minnesota's Governor Tim Walz says demonstrators continued to protest peacefully despite claims by federal officials that they're impeding the work of ICE agents in the city.
They shared a message about the reckless ICE mobilization is not keeping us safe and led to the tragedy that the world witnessed once again.
Well, some eyewitnesses who told local media outlets the 37-year-old mother who was shot was trying to drive away when the ICE agent shot her at close range. Some Democrats on Capitol Hill are calling for the shooter to be removed and criminally prosecuted. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports 45 unhoused people died outdoors in Anchorage in 2025, according to data released this week by the Anchorage Police Department. The toll is lower than the bleak record of 50 such deaths the city recorded in 2023 and then repeated in 2024. But it's still a sign that the number of unhoused people dying on the streets of Anchorage remains persistently high compared to past years. The police department defines outdoor deaths as instances when a person dies outside without a fixed address. Outdoor deaths don't capture anywhere near all the fatalities among unhoused people in Anchorage, missing those who die in hospitals from homicides, in traffic collisions, or other circumstances. Still, city leaders, past and present, have called outdoor deaths an important measure of how the city is caring for vulnerable people. Last year's numbers are still higher than any of us want to see, but lower than the two previous years, said Thea Agnew-Bembin, who leads work on homelessness issues for the municipality.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hey, North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV North Pole.
It's remote start season at Auto Trim Design. With our variety of CompuStar remote starts available, we are sure to have an option to fit everyone's needs. Enjoy many features like smartphone control with drone mobile, two-way rechargeable remotes, proximity unlock, additional security alarm, and so much more. With over 30 years of experience, Auto Trim Design takes pride in being CompuStar's only pro dealer in the interior. Contact us today to set up your appointment to have your remote start professionally installed. Stay warm with Auto Trim Design this winter.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. We're here at the KFAR studios, where it is a balmy negative 30, I think, at this current time. We have on the phone with us Chris Bean, who's the co-director of Active Self-Protection, and we have Neil Widener, who's a director of training and chief marketing officer for Active Self-Protection. They're going to be coming up here in June of 2026.
I'm
June
excited 20th to and meet 21st. You guys.
Yeah, and to teach a class, their enhanced evidence-based pistol class. And you can go to c4traininggroup.com right now and get the link. Or you can go to activeselfprotection.com and then I think go to their courses and then that'll take you to their link as well to sign up for the class. So it's actually a very reasonable priced class considering the instruction and attention that you're going to be getting. So, all right. So back to where we were. We were talking about
real life videos.
Well, Cindy had mentioned like watching videos on YouTube and how people learn from them and how like
AI is being incorporated into these videos.
Yeah, and I have a pretty point to go back, a pretty solid point to go back to what we were talking about before.
Fair enough.
About people just being afraid of learning or experiencing things that they don't do well.
Mm-hmm.
And what jumps out at me with that when we have like highlight reel culture is, you know, if we're talking about the crux of the reality of it, of using these skills in the defensive encounter, the first time you experience failure is not when you're betting your life on it. And that I believe is a big problem with only sharing what you do well or only staying in, you know, that comfortable place in training and practice. So it's pretty profound when you think about it deeply.
Agreed. I would even go so far as to say your performance under stress shouldn't be the first time when your family's standing behind you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, even if it's just yourself, like, I got it. But if I have my family behind me, I need to be 100% of the time and 100% effective the first time. So,
well, I would take it a step further and say when your family's behind you, shouldn't be the first time that you're making this decision.
Fair enough, Neil.
So your performance has to really, you know, it has to count, and it has to be as best as it possibly can. But if you're in the process of trying to make the decision, what should I do right now, when you're in the moment, you're going to really struggle. And that's where we see a lot of people freeze in a lot of cases. And so, you know, making the decision beforehand, putting yourself under some stress and training beforehand is going to help you in that moment to make that decision, whether it's just mental reps or physical reps.
You know, I like what you just said right there, Neil, was like, this shouldn't be the first time. And oh, by the way, stressors. And it led me to, my brain clicked and I was like, visual goes. We are trained so much, like when we go to gun classes, to go on the beep, like, or a verbal command. But that never happens in real life. Like, when I'm standing in a store or something like that, I'm not going to have a timer, right? Or as like Clint Smith used to say, you know, there's no timer in a gunfight. Well, yeah, there is. It's the other guy. But it's going to be a visual go signal. And so, you know, like John has said before, you know, you kind of maybe have to wait your turn. And then all of a sudden, here's that go signal. And I think you and John, Neil, were talking about that the other day. Like, the ear hole on that guy was the go signal. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And people don't train for that. They don't train for that. Like, what is my visual go signal and stuff? Well, so would that be something that might be, like, incorporated into, like, an evidence-based pistol class? I mean, I use lasers.
Yeah.
I like using a laser now on steel. And the student sees a laser on the steel, and it's like, oh, that's my go signal. You know, so it's at least something visual, because we all know that it takes about 0.30 seconds for your optic nerve to see something, and then you start a motor movement, right? You're already way behind the power curve. So,
yeah, anyways. Exactly. You know, and I think on top of that is you have to understand what your go signal is, but you also have to know what I call it. You have to know your own math to know that how fast can I do whatever I have to do right now at whatever distance, you know, given distance that I have to do it at. And if you don't know that information, a go signal doesn't give you, it isn't the complete, you know, algorithm that you have to do in your brain. You have to know, you know, if I see an ear hole, you have to know I can do this in a second and a half or less, because that's about what it's going to take for him to understand what's going on and react back to me. But if you can't do it in a second and a half or less, you got to wait for a different go signal. So you've got to do your math up front, understand, you know, and that's where we do classes. And yeah, I like the visual stuff, and we do some of that stuff in some of our classes. You know, the beeper, the timer is just the easiest one to do, because it's, you know, it's easy to get our hands on, and it's easy to get an idea with that. But yeah, I like the visual signal stuff as well.
Yeah, and I think a big piece of it is context too, though. So the timer provides you a measurement. Right? That's
sure.
Useful. You have a...
Gives you a metric.
Thing. Yeah, that this is the metric. I can perform it under this period of time. But then you have the other pieces, you know, like what you were saying, what is the stimulus? Does that change the timing? Then you have a whole other piece of should I. There's the could I and can I, but should I?
Right.
So when you start playing with that stuff, there's just more to it. And if you put some thought into it, you can cover a lot of ground really quickly.
The problem would be that most people don't practice to determine their metric. They don't put themselves on a timer or some type of, you know, training, I would say. So they'll never know what their go signal is. And hence the reason why we have a butt ton of videos of out there of, like, bad things.
I don't know what you would call it either, because I think that's experienced a lot when people just either don't care to grow. They think that they're already the best. They've shot a few cans off of a fence, you know, whatever, when they were younger. Or someone told them you're really good and it got to their head. But like, to anyone listening, you have to go out and continue to get better. You're practicing defending yourself, your family, you know, everything that you can. And I would really hope that no one has to do it. No one has to, but, there's a saying, it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in war. Like going out there and trying to fight something that, you know, is alarming your family or yourself, and you have no practice on it, that you're going in already a few steps behind. Like a shot timer is probably the easiest thing you can go out and get. Even if you can't do that, setting a timer on your phone, have that audible cue. Like Chuck, you bring the lasers into play too. I think that's really cool. I haven't seen that before. I've seen people using targets that will be facing left or right, and then they'll randomly face at you, and it forces you to do something. Like doing those things, that's going to help you get better. And I think just too many people think, I'm just going to go out to a range, mag dump into trash, which that's fun sometimes, but doing nothing to build yourself and help yourself, you're creating that liability. I know I say liability a lot, but you're creating a liability for yourself, your family, and anyone you could possibly care about. And you have to go out and get training. That you might think, oh, some class, let's say Ben Stager's teaching something, it's $500. You might look at that and say, that's a ridiculous price. But what you're getting out of that is insane. You go to C4, everything is well reasonably priced. I absolutely believe that. And you're getting so much more out of that than you probably will get in most scenarios. I imagine with ASP as well, same thing. But you guys have to continue to train and practice and be better, because someone's doing the same thing to beat you one day. And that's where you kind of, you don't want to falter on that.
Yeah. And I think you're making a really valid point in between belief and something that's known. Cause we see it in classes all the time, all over the country, where someone's very steadfast that I can do this, whatever we're requesting of them. If we say like a draw to first shot, I can do it in 1.5 seconds. Yep. Got it. The moment we put that on time, it's actually 4 or 5 seconds. And that's not a judgment. It's just, this is the reality of it. Now we know where to go. But until you have some of that data, you're 100% relying on your belief of what you can do, not what you know you can do.
Right. And a lot of people don't take into consideration the environment. And I'm not talking about just like where they might be in a space and time. I'm talking about the weather. Like one of the things we have to deal with up here is layers. And I'm sure Neil can attest to this, maybe carrying concealed down there in the Dakotas, if you will. But like you might have to work through several layers of clothing before you can get to a particular firearm. So that's going to be, you know,
temperatures,
sure. Everything else. Like things are, my hands are slower at 30 below, you know?
Oh, sure.
You ever tried?
Whereas, you know, the opposite would be Chris probably walking around down there in a banana hammock and an appendix carry gun, right? So, and you know.
I mean,
he looks good with Enigma and a banana hammock. That's a real good look for him.
Yeah. I mean, so, I mean,
topic, you know,
go ahead, Neil.
Chris and I have been, you know, we've got the Asp Unlimited app that, you know, we had to, that's a whole other story, and I could take an hour just to talk about that. But ultimately,
you got 2 minutes.
YouTube. At one point. Okay, well, I'll make it quick then. We got a strike from YouTube. They didn't let us post for a week.
That's how we make a living. And so at that point, we decided we got to stand up our own app of some sort so that we have a backup plan. So we have this cool app called Asp Unlimited. And on that, we do 3 live streams a week on that. And one of the live streams is Chris and I do, we call it the Dry Fire Workshop. And we workshop different things like that. And just the other night, we talked about layers and covers. Drawing with a hoodie on at the very least. And strangely enough, yesterday we had a 50-degree day in South Dakota, so it's 80 degrees warmer for us than it is for you. I totally am, but I understand what 30 below is. We get that at least once a year. But
you get the wind chill.
Yeah, exactly. But while I'm sitting on the range making a video, I get a text from John that says, hey, can you do a seated 1.5 draw to first shot at 3 yards? I'm like, yeah, I think so. And he's like, can you make a real quick video on it? And so I'm like, all right, cool. I got a chair in the pickup, so I'll grab it, sit it down, and make the video. And the very first draw, I'm wearing a hoodie, and the hoodie catches. And I've got a 20 round mag in there because I use the extendos when I'm making videos, so I don't have to reload quite so often. And the mag catches on my hoodie as I go to draw, and I end up with like a 1.52 the first time. And then when I'm like, oh hey, I gotta adjust a little bit for this, I think I dropped like a 95 the other time, and I was pretty happy with that. So I sent it up to John, and he posted it to I think it was to somebody that was arguing with him in the comments. But yeah, the layers make a big difference, even for those of us that wear them on a regular basis. And, you know, once in a while I go outside and I have to, you know, wear my coveralls and all of that kind of stuff, and that makes a completely different problem to get the gun out. And now I have to have a little bit different math and a little bit different algorithm. If I have a go signal, I probably do not have a sub-second draw to first shot when I'm wearing bib overalls and I'm carrying a pending.
Right.
It's probably not going to happen. So I have to do that math, and that stuff really does count.
Up here, Matt, I'll tell people all the time, like, mission dictates equipment, right? So if they're out bear hunting or something like that, or fishing, chest rig, you know what I mean? Like, because I can wear that over the top of my coveralls, I can wear it over the top of my waders, my chest waders, whatever the case may be, right? I mean, versus having it on a belt or something like that, and then your backpack or whatever is interfering with it. So you made a valid point also in that I think it's important that people train how they're going to fight, right? So now you know, hey, if I'm wearing a hoodie, maybe I need to reposition my hoodie as part of my fight. Preparation, if I will, right? If I see something starting to go sideways a little bit, all right, so I move my hoodie over this way a little bit more, right? And kind of set myself up for success if crap does go sideways, if you will. What do you say about that, Chris? You don't wear hoodies down there, though, where you are.
It's all this subjective.
All right. Well, good. We have to go into our last break, all right? So when we come back, you guys keep that in mind about how this program is going to be useful for up here in Alaska. We have to go into our last break, and we'll be right back with Chris and Neil from Active Self-Protection. You're here with Matt, Cindy, and Chuck. I said that absolutely backwards that time, and it's awesome. So we'll be right back after this break.
Ice fishing is great winter fun, if you're prepared. Now, before you make your fishing hole in the ice, make Frontier Outfitters your first stop for everything you need to limit out. Rods to tackle, to ice tents, and ice augers. And Frontier Outfitters has the right winter clothing to keep you toasty warm and dry. Not to mention your license, guns, ammo, and a wide variety of snowshoes. Your next outdoor adventure is waiting for you. It begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Ride into winter with a friend, your Snowway Snowplow. Snowway plows are stronger, smarter, the most reliable plow in the industry. Their wireless controls eliminate messy dash installations and provide the ultimate in-cab flexibility. Better yet, Snowway's patented down-pressure hydraulics increase your plowing efficiency by 30%. The drive-in mount system hooks up in seconds, and their structural plow warranty is the best in the business. Stop by Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer on Dale Road near the airport, or call 479-6665.
Hey North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV North Pole.
Auto Trim Designs Tint and Paint Protection Film Department is now open. Their professional installers are ready to keep your vehicles looking sharp and protected all year long. Auto Trim Designs self-healing PPF shields your paint from scratches and wear, helping your car stay flawless for years. And with their window films, it adds a stylish deep black color to your vehicle windows. It also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by today.
KFAR weather.
High of 29 below this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 38 below tonight, mainly clear. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Slight chance of snow. Highs level off around 20 below. 1 to 3 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back. You're here with Chuck, Cindy, and Matt here at Shooter's Corner at the KFAR Studios here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Remember, as always, you can listen to us live at KFARradio.com. Just click on that big orange ball that says Listen Live. Also, our live stream is on the KFAR app that you can find at the Android and Apple Store. So, pretty cool there.
What was Neil's app again? I was looking it up on here.
Neil, what was the name of that app again? It was the Active Self-Protection Unlimited or something.
Yeah, it's ASP Unlimited.
Yeah, ASP Unlimited.
Thank you.
Cindy was trying to look it up on the Apple Store there real quick. Is there a subscription fee for that or anything?
Yeah, there is. You know, that's one of the challenges with it is that, I mean, it's not free to host that much video. We've got about 5,000 videos and probably 25 full-length classes from guys like, you know, Ed Monk and Riley Bowman and Tim Heron, and all of our classes are up there as well. So it's a real good resource for training. Plus all of the, you know, the daily lessons are there. All the stuff that Chris and I do are there. All of the live streams are there as well. So it's a pretty cool resource, but yeah, there is a fee with that because we have to pay for all that storage.
And you know what? There's not a price on education.
Well, that's debatable. All the people that have their school loans paid off would probably differ with you. Anywho. Hey, Matt on the break was brought up one other layer of that people don't think about either. Like, what was that, Matt? Go ahead. I don't want to steal your thunder.
Oh, I appreciate it. No, people think layering, they think jackets, bibs, whatever, but you have to also remember gloves. And especially with how cold it gets up here, if you're not wearing fingered gloves, you're wearing fingerless mitts or whatever, and you're carrying and you think, oh, I'll be good. I don't know how you're going to do that when you look like the cookie man with just one finger. But you have to remember, will your glove even fit through your trigger guard? Are you able to manipulate that? Are you able to work through your jacket with your mitts or your gloves on? Can you even unzip it? Can you get to your pistol without unzipping it? What are you catching on? There's so many things that can absolutely
but let's go back
wrong.
To the glove thing, though, because I could see how that'd be another SIG issue. Like,
oh, yeah.
Uncommanded discharge. Yep. Like, oh, my glove did it.
Yeah, my glove did it. Now SIG's suing you for, you know, slander and all that. Blamed us, not the glove. And, you know, whatever. Yeah.
But I know that Neil probably sees the same thing down there. And here's what I see in classes up here is people, or even with troopers doing qualifications, they'll take the glove off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Because that's the easiest way.
Right.
But again, it goes back to that. We got to practice those things that we're not good at so that we can become good at them. And gloves is a, man, that's a tough one for anybody because, you know, even down here, we've got a pretty good pheasant population, so the pheasant hunters show up in droves.
Right.
And you see these guys walk around and have NDs all day long because it's the first time they've shot with gloves, and the, you know, the trigger guard on a shotgun is much bigger than your typical carry pistol.
But that trigger press is different.
Everything changes up when you put the gloves on, so that's something that, when we talk about layers, it rarely gets talked about is the gloves.
Well, I think it's bigger than that. Like, I think we as the people that choose to defend themselves more often than not don't want to put a lot of critical thinking into it, and I'm the self-professed super nerd of the team. I admit to that.
No, I'll confirm. I've spent a couple days around you. Yeah.
But I like a concept that's used in critical thinking called, like, the theory, turning theory into ability, right? And going back to what we were saying before, testing equals data, data equals knowledge, knowledge equals ability, ability equals confidence. So whatever we're changing, whenever we're changing it, it behooves us to test it and understand really what it, don't just blindly accept, test it, know.
Was that the nexus or the flash of genius moment that you had for the Crucible?
Maybe.
Tell everybody what the Crucible is. And, oh, by the way, would they have the opportunity to shoot that in front of you when you come up in June, or is that a separate class that would have to be done in?
It's possible. That would kind of rely on Neil because...
Sure.
In addition to my responsibilities at Active Self-Protection, I run my own company called Tactical Advantage, where that's where the Crucible was born. And the Crucible, for everyone listening, if you're unfamiliar, is a very short-form course of fire designed in particular to add mental pressure to your skill set and see what happens under pressure with the testing environment to tell you what you're deficient at. And a lot of times, drills and things like that are built for self-gratification alone and not for growth. So I spent about a year and a half building a very short drill that is 100% designed to help you grow on the mental and the skill side. So there's a lot to it. I could, much like what Neil was saying earlier, I could talk about that for an hour and a half. But
good. I know what our next show is going to be.
if the opportunity arises, I wouldn't be against that. But that the class
sure.
that we're doing there isn't built around that drill.
Yeah, it's an ASP class. I just thought I'd
But
ask.
I think if we have time, we'll definitely have some targets with us. And if we have time, I'm 100% up for that.
Yeah, what's your time on that, Neil?
Before 7 yesterday.
4-7. That's pretty good.
So I've been working. So the reloads is the thing. You know, we've always talked about, you know, reloads. We don't see them in self defense stuff. So
sure.
I don't work on reloads much. But I'll tell you, a 2.5 or 3 second reload will kill your time in that in the Crucible. You've got to work on that. And I've been working reloads with my Titan X from Mantis, which is a button release, and I carry a VP9. So
right, which is a release at the bottom of the trigger guard.
Yeah. So yesterday I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this on video and show it to Chris. My reload was a 2.8 or something like that.
But did you send that to Chris still?
Of course I did.
Oh, you got to work on your growth, right?
Yeah.
In all actuality,
you know, that goes way.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, no, it goes back to the
Neil
very...
actually got it. He made it.
He made the time still.
Yep, he made it.
So. Yeah, the shooting, I got the shooting. I just got to get the reload so I can get that time down below the 5 second, which is going to take some work. But the whole idea of sending the video to Chris goes back to, we have this policy that John and I put in place way back when we started the extra channel. So the Active Self-Protection extra channel is where we do all of our training stuff. And, you know, we just made the decision and the policy that we're not going to do second takes. So what goes on that channel is who we are at that moment. So the only way a video might get made that doesn't end up there is if the sound doesn't work or the tripod fell over or something along those lines. And that happens pretty rarely. But I had a great run going the other day and my tripod blew over in the wind. And it messed up.
You are in South Dakota, man. You got to nail that thing down.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nail it.
But you know, we see that from, you know, some, we have seen it in the past from some others. I don't know what's going on now. I try not to pay too much attention to it. But you see a pretty fair amount of people that the only stuff they post are these great, amazing shots, and you never see them actually be a human. And so, yeah. You know, I'm like, I'm making this video. I'm a human. I'm a show your work kind of guy.
Well, we're going to get cut off here real quick. So let's just do a one last second plug here for the class coming up. It's going to be in June 20th and 21st. I get it as summer solstice, but hey, this is going to be an awesome training event coming up from the Lower 48. You just heard these two awesome instructors that are going to be coming up here and teaching this class. Find it at c4traininggroup.com. Go to our course calendar. It's like right at the first page anyways. Click on that. You'll see the link that'll take you directly to sign up for that active self-protection class. If not, go to activeselfprotection.com/shop, and you'll also find the link there as well. Chris and Neil, we absolutely appreciate you guys coming on the radio show with us today. So, everybody, stay warm out there. Also, remember, our next ACHP class is posted on our website, 17-18 January, and we got to go. Bye-bye. Price RV.